The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2010 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2010. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Good morning and welcome to Staff Selection and the Continuous Improvement Model. It's an honor to be sharing with you this morning, talking about a familiar subject in a familiar place. This is home for us, and we're glad you're here. I'm Ginger Hayes, principal of the Phonics School at Cary Christian School. That's grades K through 2. And this is Mrs. Tina Armstrong, principal of the Grammar School, grades 3 through 5. Please don't hesitate while you're here in the triangle to ask us any questions related to school or the area. We're here to help you, and you're our guests. So let's dedicate this time together to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be involved in such a noble and meaningful endeavor, the formation of young hearts and minds. As your servant said earlier, to be laboring in the dawn of everlasting results. We seek your blessing on our time together here this morning. We ask that it be fruitful and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cary Christian School has just completed its 14th year. With just fewer than 100 staff members, many part-time. It's been a privilege to be part of the administrative team at CCS for the last 13 years. And though Mrs. Armstrong's administrative record spans 12 years, her leadership dates back to the very earliest planning stages of the school. In fact, she was part of the staff selection team that hired me. That's evidence of her graciousness. The selection process is the first step to building a strong staff, and having a clearly defined process is where we begin today. Over the years, we've had to do very little formal advertising for employment applicants. Instead, our inquiries come through very traditional avenues. The majority comes from within our own parent body. Parents who desire to be part of their children's day-to-day school experiences. We also receive inquiries, as you would imagine, by way of mail, email, and even walk-ins. We circulate resumes among administrators. And we make the decision whether to be in contact, or disregard. With face-to-face and select written inquiries, we take the time to begin the dialogue and to communicate our prerequisites for employment. We desire that our staff clearly understand classical education and how it works in the classroom, as well as how their work fits into the whole. For this reason, we require every staff member to read the following selections within their first year of employment: The Lost Tools of Learning by Dorothy Sayers, Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning by Douglas Wilson, The Seven Laws of Teaching by John Milton Gregory, and Excused Absence by Douglas Wilson. It's the responsibility of each administrator to track the completion of this requirement. We are not quick to hand out employment applications. The first prerequisite for a potential applicant is to begin by reading the Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning. If the inquiry is an unknown, we direct them to read the book and follow up with us at a later date to share their thoughts. If the inquiry comes from a promising known, perhaps a mom within our own school body who's volunteered in a number of ways over time, or perhaps a familiar church member who's committed to Christian education, we're very quick to loan a copy of the book and even to give an employment application. The prerequisite to read Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning itself can often dissuade the half-hearted inquiry, and that's intentional. If not, the employment application may be the hurdle that does it. It's a comprehensive document and is not designed for the weak. Here are the components of our employment application. We begin by asking general demographic information, the position and salary they desire, their education and training background, their employment history for the last 10 years. Then we move into the next section of personal information, such as certifications they possess, their grade preference, and their interest in extracurricular activities. Under education and classroom information, we ask them to explain their philosophy of education, why they believe they are called to teach at a Christian school, their approach to discipline, and their definition of classical education. In the spiritual information section, we ask them to define biblical worldview. We ask them to detail their church practices and explain their view of the Bible, the Trinity, the person of Jesus Christ, and give a detailed account of their personal salvation experience. The last written section asks applicants to list the last five books they've read. The employment application includes a copy of our bylaws, disclosure, authorization and release for background search, a pastor reference, and three personal and or professional reference forms. We have a sample at our front desk here if you'd like to review it later. We review and rate every applicant at various stages in the process. The first rating is based on the strength of their completed application. We assign a numerical score, 0 to 4. We encourage interested candidates to have their applications with references back to us in early fourth quarter. And as much as possible, we schedule all interviews within the same week in April.
Thank you. Once we have the completed applications, we schedule the candidates for the interview. And we always invite the candidates to prepare a 10 to 15 minute teaching lesson so they bring that to their interview. We begin by prayer. We pray for the candidate and we pray for the school as we're seeking God's will in this all-important decision who to add to our staff. The teaching component, this is something we have used for years, and it has been an invaluable addition to our interview process. We allow the teacher to choose the subject, and they come, and at the very beginning, they present their lesson. It is invaluable for us. It gives us a picture of their personality and their teaching style. And it also gives us much information. Are they able and equipped to teach at that grade level? We're also looking to see if they have a passion for teaching. What types of tools are they using from the classical methods, and how well do they implement them? Is there anything original there? We're also looking for a strong Christian component. Have they integrated the Bible into their lesson? And we actually do interrupt, and we want to see how the candidate responds to interruptions in their lesson. So, do they love the Lord? Is it evident? Are they passionate about teaching? Do they love children? Is that apparent? It is so interesting to see the lessons that they prepare, the subjects that they choose. It gives us a glimpse of who they are. This is, again, a great tool to use, and many times it can give us a clearer picture of where we might place a potential candidate or whether or not a candidate really isn't a strong candidate for our team. Once the teaching lesson is complete, we segue right into the interview. And we begin with some typical questions like these. Why are you applying? What's the main reason? And why now? What's the timing component? And if they're married, we want to know what their spouse thinks about the decision, and are they in agreement? We ask, how does your husband lead in the home, and how are you the helpmeet? We want to know what their home life looks like. We have them describe their family dynamic and their personal relationship with the Lord. What are they studying daily in their quiet time? So we want to hear from them. Next, having gone through the application, we ask any questions that may have surfaced from their responses or any red flags. If there's any clarification needed regarding interruptions in employment or irregular church attendance, those types of things, we want to know why. We're looking at the application also to see if it's neat, to see if it is well done, good penmanship, correct spelling, grammar, those types of things. They're all clues that you're amassing as you're looking and considering this candidate. Then we ask questions dealing with, where do you fall on the disciplinarian versus permissive scale? Talk to us about your classroom management and your style. Do you work best with highly organized people or the creative? What is your greatest strength as a teacher? What is your greatest weakness? So we want to know what you're bringing to the table. And then we ask them to relate a most challenging teaching situation and how it was resolved. We ask them to walk through a typical teacher conference. We also ask them to share a memorable teaching moment, either good or negative. And then we ask them, are you a team player? And give us an example of how you are a team player. Once we have completed that section, we move on to describe our own expectations. We begin with what we call the four S's: submission, service, supervision, and safety. Submission to authority. We are looking for cheerful, quick to respond, and quick to obey teachers that are very flexible, even if it means a reassignment. We are looking for those with a servant heart, one that is willing to serve the administrator, the school, the parents, the children. As far as supervision is concerned, always supervising when you're on campus, showing, holding, and enforcing the standards. And safety, being very familiar with all of our safety procedures. Those drills may include fire drill, tornado, lockdown, lock-in, those types of procedures. Being very cognizant of the safety of the children always on the campus, always mindful of people who are not usually on campus and raising attention and getting that word to one of the administrators. So we're looking for people who are very aware of their surroundings and are able to enforce the playground rules and safety rules at the carpool. So those are some areas where safety is just incredibly important. And then we briefly go over our benefits at Cary Christian. And the salary is commensurate with experience and training. A couple of the other benefits include you're with your school-age children throughout the day, and you're on the same calendar, typically same school day, hours. Our staff does pay full tuition, but you can take a tuition benefit, meaning that the tuition can be taken off of the top from the salary as a tax benefit. We provide, as a school, short and long-term disability and term life. The term life is equivalent to 1 year's salary, and these benefits are paid by the school with no expense to the employee, and all employees of 20 hours or greater are eligible. We do offer medical insurance reimbursements for employee portions of their premiums, and the stated amounts are agreed upon and approved by the superintendent. So once we get through our benefits, we shift the interview to allow for questions from the candidates. And once answered, we explain to them our timeline. So typically we're making employment decisions in May or June. Our current employees are all on yearly ministry offers, and so it is usually May or June before we know of openings. So after the interview, we debrief as administrators and we rate the candidates. We use a very simple scale, and it's a way to systematize our observations across the four administrators so that when we're discussing, we're talking the same language. As Mrs. Hayes mentioned, it's a 0 to 4. And there's an example here of what we're looking at. We are looking at the strength of the employment application itself, and we're assigning a 0 to 4. We take the teaching lesson as a separate component, again, a score of 0 to 4. The interview itself, and then their commitment to Christian and classical education. So we sum that across the row, as you can see in our example number 2 there. And then we divide by 16, which is the possible number of points, and multiply by 100. And that gives us a percentage. And then we rank our candidates so that we know in an objective way who our stronger candidates are. And we prayerfully, once we have ranked them, prayerfully consider where the Lord would want them used in His kingdom work at Cary Christian.
Mrs. Armstrong and I typically meet and debrief just as soon as possible following the formal interview while our thoughts are still fresh, and usually that's immediately. We discuss the candidate's lesson, his or her teaching style, strengths, personality, and our overall impressions, as well as our sense for the best grade level placement. At that point, we make the determination whether or not to invite select candidates back for us to spend time in the classrooms observing across the grades. Our goal in this is to let them see firsthand our behavioral expectations, our classroom culture, and the particular dynamics that each age group offers. We typically suggest they spend a morning moving about at their discretion, beginning in kindergarten and working through fifth grade. And at the close of their time, we sit back down together and have them share their comments. It's always interesting. Some come away having loved every single level and being open to wherever the Lord leads. Some come away feeling very led to a particular age. And some are very surprised to see where they're drawn. They all come away with a greater appreciation for the calling of teaching and for our school. There are times following an interview when we agree there's a need to bring a candidate back, and to have a second sit down together. It's not uncommon that we interview more candidates than we have a need for in a given year. And in that case, we do call those candidates back the next year for an abbreviated meeting. We want to know if there have been any changes in their interest or their availability, any changes in their church affiliation, their home dynamics. We don't just assume that they're still interested. We want to hear from them. One way we measure a candidate's level of interest and commitment is by offering them volunteer opportunities. We're quick to begin calling on potential candidates when they express an interest. This gives us an opportunity to evaluate their skill set and their efficiency. Here are a few good examples. Several years ago, there was a first grade assistant who expressed an interest in teaching math in the secondary level. Later that same year, when the sixth grade math teacher announced she was expecting, that same assistant began volunteering for her in her classrooms in the afternoons, grading papers, becoming familiar with the curriculum, getting to know that sixth grade team and their expectations. And it made for a very natural transition the following year when that assistant was hired as the new sixth grade math teacher. And it's cute. I see her in the audience here today. She didn't know I was going to use her. A second example would be this year when we had an interested candidate express a desire to lend a hand to the Latin teachers. The more time she gave, the more her love for the subject grew. And this spring, when she formally interviewed, she taught a Latin lesson, did a great job, and has just been hired to teach third grade Latin for the coming year. We also utilize employment applicants as substitutes in our specials classes as well as in the secondary school. When we're interviewing, we are real upfront, especially with our assistant applicants, and we say, our assistants are teachers in training. You are all eyes, all ears. Get to know the curriculum. Understand the philosophy. Learn the classroom management. We will be calling on you. And when our teachers are absent and unavailable, our assistants step up and lead. It's a tremendous benefit. And whenever we have openings and lead positions, we look first at our teaching assistant pool. As Mrs. Armstrong shared, we pray throughout the process. We want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading in the staff selection process and in the placement of those new hires. We desire strong teams where one's strengths support the other's need and where personalities complement. We value every applicant and the time they invest in the process. And regardless of whether the Lord has a place for them this year, we want them to know we are genuinely appreciative for their interest. Once we've selected our new staff hires, we contact references and complete background checks. With the superintendent's approval, we extend a verbal offer. We discuss the specifics of their placement, the grade level, the team they'll be working with, their specific hours, who we plan to put them in contact with to begin the orientation process over the summer, and what personnel paperwork is needed. The superintendent writes all ministry offers based on our recommendations, and he meets with all new hires prior to extending an offer. The ministry offer itself identifies the staff position in very general terms. Rather than second grade teacher, the offer would read teacher. Rather than kindergarten assistant, the offer would read assistant. This reinforces the concept that we serve where the need is greatest and submit to administration. It gives administration greater flexibility throughout the school year to reassign personnel without the need for an amendment. This slide notes the key elements of the offer, and one particular we'd like to draw your attention to is in regard to ACCS teacher certification. Every teacher who enters into a contractual agreement with our school agrees to begin actively pursuing their certification. The business manager meets with all new hires and answers any specific questions concerning the ministry offer. And any of those questions you might have in regard to benefits, our business manager is here at the conference and would be happy to speak with you if you had any need. It's usually early June when we introduce new hires to the current staff members that they'll be serving alongside. We assign each new teacher to a mentor grade level teacher who meets with them informally several times over the course of the summer to cover objectives and guide them through the curriculum. These mentor teachers serve as a daily, sometimes hourly support in the first year of teaching, which we lovingly refer to as their survival year. It's not uncommon that new teachers meet with mentor teachers 3 to 5 times over the course of the summer prior to the start of the school year. The school remains open all summer, and teachers are free to come and go as they please. The first 2 contract days are devoted to teacher orientation. We begin the first hour with a breakfast fellowship that our parent-teacher fellowship provides for us. Then we all gather together for formal introductions and a fresh charge from our superintendent. The remainder of our time over those 2 days are spent with respective principals reviewing the mission, personnel expectations, school culture, redefining that standard, preparing for back to school day, and of course, the first day of school. Those first weeks and days are fast and furious. New teachers rely heavily on mentor teachers, touching base daily, answering questions and addressing concerns, offering advice and encouraging. As administrators, we have an open door policy. Our teachers know that we're there for them. We support them. And though it's our desire that they handle discipline and academic concerns at the classroom level, they know that we are ready and eager to step in and come alongside them to confront any challenge they face in the classroom.
Administratively, we are proactive, hands-on in our approach to staff evaluation. Staff should and do expect the administrators to be in the classrooms often. And administrators, I encourage you to be on the hall and by the bathrooms and at carpool and on the playground, observing classes informally often. I find that I am more effective at doing this when I actually plan these into my day and put them on my calendar. Otherwise, an entire day can go by and you haven't moved from your computer. But know the students, review their work, look at the projects, and give students and parents and teachers feedback. Give new teachers feedback frequently. This is going well. Make suggestions. Write notes, both positive and negative. Yes, you must document. Be brief and to the point. There must be accountability, but you may do so in a loving and gracious way. Write every staff member a personal welcome back to school note and attach personal notes to weekly letters, lesson plans, midterms, report cards, So your communication, of course, is ongoing. New teachers require daily contact and meetings, both formal and informal. Initiate the communication and train. Get in there, roll up your sleeves, and offer feedback before the first formal observation. Make sure that your expectations are clear. We observe returning teachers in quarters one and two and new hires in quarters one, two, and three of each school year. So for quarters one, two, and three, teaching staff will set up three appointments with their administrator, a pre-observation meeting, a classroom observation meeting, and then a post-observation meeting. The pre-observation meetings last typically for 15 to 30 minutes, and they go something like this. How are things going with your spouse? How's your relationship with the Lord? How's the home? How are things at church? How are your relationships with your peers and grade level teachers? Are there any student or parent concerns or praises, victories? When am I coming to observe and what? We do allow our teachers to choose the day, time, and subject, typically. We also remind the teachers to hold back student work so that we can review it while we're in the classroom. The formal observations are 30 minutes in length. And administrators, if you've ever taught, you may know this. It's a stressful time for teachers when they're observed. Smile, make them feel at ease. Love what you're doing. Enjoy being in the classroom. Be on time for the observations. So I'm going to refer you now to the blank handout, and then we're going to have a slide. And we're going to walk through what we do at Cary Christian School for a 30-minute classroom observation. We've been using something like this form for approximately 12 years. So first of all, you're, of course, going to list the teacher's name and then the date. And the chronology is 5 minutes intervals. You're going to write down the key item that's happening in the classroom, whether it's a recitation or some sort of a practice for a sound off, that type of thing. And then we're going to move over to the tools of learning. This is something that you're going to record throughout the entire 30-minute period, any classical tools that the teacher is using. So you'll see some examples up here on the screen. Some others that you might see a little bit more frequently in the secondary level might be disputatio, sparring, debate, rhetoric, integration, those types of tools. And you can have a teacher that is experienced deliver an incredibly cohesive, wonderful lesson with as many as 8 to 10 or more tools. But a new teacher, we're looking for 3 or more, and we're just looking for a really strong lesson. Next, we're going to look at the on-task analysis. And at Cary Christian, we write down the number of students present in the classroom, and then for a 10-minute section, and I typically do it the middle 10 minutes. I let the teacher find her stride and get into the lesson a bit. And then for the middle 10 minutes, I do a 10-minute on-task analysis. And I record 1-minute intervals for 10 minutes. And then what you do is you look at your watch. It's a little bit like a systematic behavioral analysis, if you're familiar with that. But instead of using 2 students, you're going to review the entire classroom. So as the second hand of your watch is sweeping, so every minute you'll glance across the classroom and see if any student is off task. So as you can see from the example, these are major things. And so you record the number of students that are on task. And then you sum that across the 10 minutes and you divide by the total number of students present times 10. And that gives you a percent. And again, it's a great way to quantify it. We have the scale there listed for you. The next section is what we call the filler word tally. And it's just an indicator typically of how nervous the teacher is. And they're not always aware of how often they're saying things like, okay, all right, and And we're simply wanting to bring it to the teacher's attention. We have quite a record in the secondary for the number of okays, too. So we move on to what we call the rest of the feedback. And this is where the administrator, you're writing the entire time you're in the classroom. You're writing everything that's happening, the questions that are being asked, how the students are responding, what's going well, what could be improved. So you're just writing, writing, writing. It usually fills up the entire backside of this page that you're holding. Again, you want to see and make special notes so that when you see a child in the hall, you can say, oh, I really like the way you were sitting in class today, and you can encourage them. Similarly, if there's something they need to work on, you can encourage them as well. And then we do a paper review. Of course, you have access to grades, but this is something different. You're looking through their paperwork, and you're seeing how they're progressing and what they're mastering and what they're missing. And if you have a student that struggles, you can really encourage them. I really like your penmanship, or your math is improving. Continue to work hard. And comments like that have a tremendous impact on students and on parents as well. If you see a parent, you can also share that with them. So, on the overall observation, the administrators then write a summary. So it's just a few brief sentences or comments about how the overall impression of the classroom and the day was, and thanking them, just mentioning some things that are going really well, some things that they're very strong in as a teacher. And then we do give them an overall grade, because teachers love grades. Now, can you get an A+? You can. It's pretty difficult. But every once in a while, everything comes together, and the lesson delivery is perfect, and everybody's on task, and it's just beautiful. However, on those times when things appear to fall apart in the classroom, you grade them the way you should, honestly and forthrightly, and anybody that gets a C or a D on an observation at the school, we require within 2 weeks, another observation and a much improvement noted. Even a seasoned teacher can have an off day or an off lesson. So we need to be kind. This is how I begin my post-observation meeting. So this is the third meeting, 15 to 30 minutes. If it didn't go well and I felt like there were some problems, I'll say, so how do you think the lesson went? And they'll go, oh, you know, this didn't work as well as I would have liked. And, oh, please come back. Please come back. And sometimes your better teachers, even with a B, will say, oh, I just wasn't my best. Would you please come back? And, of course, we would. We'll come back anytime they want. Mm-hmm. All right. So the post-observation meeting, we sit down with them again, and we actually have these either handwritten or typed, and we go through them in detail with the teacher. And again, encouraging them, telling them this is what we really liked, making suggestions. This is the opportunity for the administrator to really train to some specifics. When you're training the students to answer in complete sentences, you did this well, but you missed an opportunity here to have them practice. Let me show you what I want that to look like. Or I want you to go down the hall and see Mrs. X, and I want you to see how well she accomplishes this, and I'd like for you to incorporate it. So next time I'm in, I'd like for you to work on that. So it's a great opportunity for us to train and to give them specifics. They want to improve their teaching, and they want the feedback. So it's a very positive, positive meeting. Again, be honest and encouraging. So moving on now to the annual evaluation. We begin compiling information for the annual evaluations in April. And it does take time. So set aside the time. Again, I have to put it on my calendar. Keep good records and start the preparations by pulling materials. You may be pulling details such as staff meeting attendance, whether or not they were tardy to work or tardy to staff meetings, participation in book club meetings. How are their lesson plans? Are they really thorough? Are they pretty sketchy? So you're looking at all of that. Are they on time? We have weekly letters in our K through 5 program, so the teachers write weekly letters, and it's an opportunity for them to share about classical education, the philosophy, and the methods. So are the teachers using that as a tool? So we're always looking for ways to train and to encourage them toward the standard, our standards. Have there been any grading errors? Even with the greatest software, there still can be data entry errors or formula errors. So we're looking to see. And how was the teacher if she had to be corrected? Was she humble, or was he willing and able to be teachable, or were they on the defensive? So it doesn't matter so much that there was a mistake, but how did they respond, and did they do so biblically? We're also looking at the classroom. Is it organized, or is it, there's a lot of clutter in the classroom? We're looking to see how prepared the teacher is on a daily basis. All of those things that you're looking for in a teacher. Their countenance. And if you've had to write any notes personnel-wise, you do need to make sure that you follow up on those. We're also looking to see if the teachers are progressing in their ACCS certification. And that is something that we have worked along with ACCS to put together, and it's something that we're requiring our teachers to do. Not all schools are doing that, and you do have to be an accredited school in order to have that as a formal program. But you could certainly initiate something on your own in a less formal way. All right, I want to just mention briefly the major topics or components of the annual evaluation. The first one is spiritual leadership. Does the staff member exhibit the fruit of the Spirit regularly? Then there's an instruction section. And typically we're looking for the 7 laws of teaching, each of the laws, and are they utilizing it regularly in the classroom? Classroom management, are the rules posted and are they implemented and enforced consistently? And again, what does the classroom look like, and do the children participate in the upkeep of the classroom? Lesson plans and grading, is that done in a timely way? Are there diverse types of assignments that help students to be able to master the material? And does the teacher have a good sense of the deficiencies with the students? And are they good communicators at keeping the administrators in the loop and the parents and the students? We then write a summary of the entire, professionalism's next. Biblical approach to their work. Are they punctual? Are they cheerful? Are they obedient? Are they good communicators both in written form and oral form, whether it be notes or emails? And do they keep the administrators involved and in the loop? We operate at Cary Christian School under the premise that we don't want any surprises. We would rather have more information than we need. Tell us everything, and that way if a parent calls or comes, we're in the loop. Then we actually write a summary of the year, and we highlight such things as, thank you so much for mentoring the new teacher this year. You did a great job. Or thanks for hosting and putting on the spelling bee. So we mention specific milestones in that teacher's year that they went over and beyond. And I know that's often, so you typically have long summaries. We also want to encourage our staff to either pursue certification or maybe to stretch themselves. Perhaps they need to take more initiative in a team, or perhaps contribute to curriculum. And if you know that they have some specific gifts, you want them to utilize them. So encourage them. Give them a specific item to work on for the next year. That might be piloting a new curriculum or whatever. So we do look back on the previous annual to see if there have been any ends or use or anything that needed to improve throughout the year. Then we do assign an overall grade. We use E for exemplary, S, ends, and U's. And again, I just want to encourage you that throughout the year, pray for your staff often, not only when there's a concern or problem. Pray for them often, even when things are going well.
Staff development is ongoing throughout the year. As we've mentioned, all employees are required to read these four selections their first year of employment to ensure that clear understanding of the classical education. All employees read the staff handbook in its entirety and agree to abide by its guidelines within the earliest days of school. Principals take time during our staff orientation to refocus all on our mission. We review our educational philosophy, our school philosophy, school-wide goals, personnel guidelines, and daily details. Weekly, principals meet with teachers 3 mornings a week. Tuesday mornings, we pray, glance over the week's activities, and briefly look ahead. Each principal communicates these things in their own style. Both Mrs. Armstrong and I have a sample of our staff notes up front at the table if you'd like to take a look. Wednesday morning is book club. As a staff, we read together all year, rotating between any number of books, at least one from the required list for the ACCS teacher certification. This year, all K through 12 teachers read Doug Wilson's The Case for Classical Christian Education in the first semester. Then administrators had the freedom to choose what we determined would be most beneficial for our respective teachers. K through 2 read Shepherding a Child's Heart, while 3 through 5 read children's literature, discussed key writing assignments within their grade level objectives, and conducted in-service training. Additionally, each principal meets once a week with their new teachers for an added book club. Remember, it's their survival year. Together, we walk through the 7 laws of teaching and recovering the lost tools of learning. The week wraps up with a Friday morning debrief and a time of prayer. Every student is prayed for specifically over the course of the year. Lesson plans and Monday letters are due Friday. Monthly, we conduct an all-staff fellowship that falls on Wednesday afternoon following the Tuesday night board meeting. These meetings are designed specifically for fellowship, to build unity among the entire staff. We have cake and refreshments. The superintendent gives us an overview from the previous night's board meeting. We do lots of fun things and vary it up from year to year with that month's birthday staffers. And then we fellowship, just catching up with one another. On an as-needed basis, we require teachers to observe their peers, stellar mentor teachers for training. With 3 sections at each grade level, we are blessed with an amazing pool of gifted teachers. As administrators, we have the privilege of knowing the strengths and unique talents of each. It's common to find new teachers slipping in to observe their more experienced peers, but rare to find experienced teachers taking the time to do so. This year, as part of ongoing staff development, all K through 2 teachers were required to formally observe one peer of their choice in third quarter, and two they were assigned in fourth quarter. They had to submit a brief written summary sharing the fresh ideas and or confirmation they'd gained from this experience. Peer observation is a beneficial tool for staff development. Once your school becomes accredited through ACCS, as Ms. Armstrong mentioned, your teachers can begin the formal process of teacher certification. Every teacher who signs a contract, as you'll remember, agrees to pursue that certification. We do not put a great deal of pressure on them, but we do hold them accountable and encourage them to press on toward that goal. There is a monetary incentive of $1,000 when they receive their first level, which is their provisional teacher certification. There are three levels. They're provisional, they're permanent, and the master's, each having its own set of reading, writing, and experience requirements. We have a copy of the requirements that Cary Christian School and ACCS have agreed upon at our front table if you'd care to take a look. Yearly, our board makes it a priority to send personnel to the ACCS conference. They graciously pay the registration fee for any employee who wants to attend. They also pay all expenses for five staff members and each administrator to attend yearly. We've covered a good deal of ground this morning, and thank you for your attention. We hope you've found it helpful, and perhaps you've picked up a few fresh ideas that you can take back and implement as you continue to stretch toward new heights in staff selection. It is a process. And in closing, we want to encourage you to select those staff members who will not only count it all joy to be part of your team, but will be a joy to your team. Administrators, be encouraging, evaluate, and be all about continuously improving. And may the Lord bless our efforts and cause our schools to be beacons in our communities. Thank you. Now we have a few minutes for questions, if you have any. Yes. In their lesson plans? And your question was, what do we require? Well, by subject, we're looking to see the objectives that are going to be covered each specific day by subject. The objective, the materials that they're using to cover those objectives and the tools that they plan to use as well. And then it's common to ask also for how, where their biblical worldview integration is coming in. Anything else to add, Ms. Armstrong?
Also, probably the teaching, the seven laws of teaching, we do want them to follow those. So we would want that listed in the lesson plan.
We do. It is a requirement for all school-age children to attend our school.
That's K through 12. Administrators at this point. In our early years, we had some various ways that we conducted that, but probably for the last 11 or 12 years, it's been administrators.
Single administrators, or do you have teachers in the room doing the review process?
It's administrators. We work together. Typically, when families apply to the school, the administrator of the oldest child typically conducts the family interview, and sometimes that segues or includes a staff interview. But we will typically, Mrs. Hayes and I typically do the interviews for all of the teaching applicants.
For K through 5. But it's also common that when we spot particular gifts in those applying in K through 5, you know, when we spot, it's easy to spot those that you think would be a huge asset in the secondary and or in the business office. You know, just knowing the organization, we funnel those applications to other administrators quickly. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful? In the earlier years, more were involved, and we're very blessed to have one another to bounce things off of. But on occasion, we do interview independently if we're not available.
Yes.
What would you do if you're approaching August and you didn't have a strong candidate for a grade?
Well, we would probably reassign someone that is familiar with the school and already in place and provide some additional training in that particular area while we would continue to perhaps search. I'm not aware that that's happened. The Lord has been really good to us. Also, administrators, we're a little bit of the standby staff, and so we know what areas we're in, and especially for secondary, it was not uncommon for many, many years for us to be teaching a class. So especially in upper-level math and sciences, if we had one section or two that needed to be covered, we would step in. So we kind of jokingly look at each other around the table during July and August and talk about it. But that's kind of our backup plan as well. Yes? Well, our board actually does come and visit us every year, so we do have a board visitation, and they're on campus all day, and they're evaluating teachers and administrators, all staff. So they do make notes and give us feedback, of which we promptly obey. I would say that they're looking generally for, is a biblical worldview being communicated? Is the teacher modeling a good, strong Christian life? Is it evident in the classroom? Do they love teaching? Do they love the children? Do they love the Lord? I would say that even when the board is at our school all day, those are the types of things that they're looking for. They may be a little bit less familiar with the tools of learning or whatever, but they do read a great deal, and they do have an idea of the philosophy. Obviously, they've been trained with that. So they're looking for evidence of that in the classroom. They might even ask some of the teachers or the administrators, all right, so let's summarize recovering the lost tools, or how is this teacher most implementing the 7 laws? So there are typically some questions that they ask us specifically.
I was going to also say, as board members, they should be willing to come and visit and give feedback and encouragement. And I know that we have some schools represented here in this room who've done some creative things as board members when they did not have administrators there on site for their teachers. They have worked with other schools to provide more experienced teachers and or administrators to come in and visit and give feedbacks. You know, teachers need feedback and they need encouragement. So I would say until you have an administrator, your board has to be more hands-on. I would think, you know, a regular book club, it may not have to be weekly, but a regular book club that was accomplishing, you know, while they're together, they're praying, the board members praying for the staff members, they're reading together, gaining the better understanding of the classical model, and just letting those teachers know that they're, you know, they are supported. I would think book club would be a great place to start. But I do think an evaluation would be something that a teacher would value greatly, and that your parent body would also, you know, it gives credence to the teachers are doing. You can say firsthand the teachers are doing a great job. Oh, if they don't want to do the reading. Well, you don't renew their contract. That would be an authority issue. You know, If you're able, I know our superintendent and board have been gracious in past years. As we've grown, you know, it's become harder to do that. So we, and in most cases, the teachers are wanting to have their own personal copies so they can mark them up and highlight them and take notes, because they're going to be writing papers on those books. So it's not necessary. We do require them to pay for their own books.
Yes.
Our board meets once a month. Once a month. All year. And then they come back and report to the larger body of corporation twice a year. Perfect. It's 10:33, and we thank you so much. We're at the front if you have more questions and would like to see our materials.